the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father will live forever. He that will, first of all, renounce that pull to the things of this world. You cannot serve two masters. The world is passing away. We wonder about the world. It seems like its sinful ways are getting stronger, but it's passing away, absolutely passing away. And the word says in 2 Chronicles 7 and 15, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their family. I will heal their life. I will heal their land. Please take that very, very personal to each and every one of you in here. Those promises are for you. Amen? So love not the world. And it's, you know, I have trouble with this because I've had a powerful, wonderful life. I've been a part of many wonderful things. But the world is passing away. And you just have to decide, what is God talking about? He's not telling you not to love your family. He's not telling you not to love your neighbors. He's telling you do not fall into the pitfall and stay for very long loving the world, the things that are of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, because these things are detrimental to the purpose of God in your life. It works exactly against what God wants you to be and to become, who you really, truly are. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus said in a place, you cannot serve God and money. And everybody needs some money. Money is not sinful, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, the lust for money, when you would do anything to get some money, they take girls and turn them into prostitutes. They take girls and boys and turn them into all kinds of terrible things, all kinds of substance abuses, some that most people, I didn't say this, but Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, that road that leads to eternal life. But broad is the way of destruction. And many are on that road and will continue to be. So think about the promises and the warnings of God are for your benefit to help you and to help me. And I've been a Christian for 50 years, and these are not easy for me. I have to work at this, even to this day. But you should have seen what a mess I was when I first started many years ago on the east side of San Jose, California. And the problems that I had, but God helped me with each and every one of those problems. I'm going to go to Psalm chapter 1, and I want you to see this these verses with me in Psalms. And these words, they won't take anything. They won't do anything for you if you don't embrace them personally for your life. They're for your life. They're for my life. The word says this in Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, this is what you have to understand. This is how the kingdom of God works. It doesn't matter what denomination you choose. Whether you're a Catholic or a Baptist, whether you're a Pentecostal or a Methodist, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's a word person. And in his law does he meditate day and night. I've made some changes in my life, and I've meditated for many years on the word of God and let the word of God change me one day at a time. One experience at a time. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates night and day. You know, there are over 8,500 promises in the Bible. 7,500 are for mankind. Promises to you. Promises about what God will do for you in this life. You can't acquire what you don't know. You just can't do it. You have to become a word person. You have to know Bible verses. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Everybody can use that almost every day of their life. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He's gonna meet all of our needs. Not according to our bank account, but God's bank account. How big is his bank account? The word of God says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all those that dwell therein. It all belongs to God. I was revelating on that. Lord, I really don't own anything. You know, I've got a house and 10 acres, but it's not mine. Probably within 35, 40 years, or maybe much sooner, I'll be gone from here. My wife will be gone from here. And that'll be somebody else's, but not really. See, the earth belongs to God, and we're here to enjoy things his way and to turn away from certain things his way and be happy in doing it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. How many songs can you quote the lyrics from? And how many Bible verses can you quote? Herein, you can find yourself where you really are. Because if you can quote far more songs or movie lines, what good is that going to do you when an enemy comes against you? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers. I've come to where I live this kind of a life. I'm like a tree planted by the water. Now, don't get me wrong now. I didn't say I didn't still sin, because I do. I'm not proud of it, but I think maybe if I just tell you the truth, maybe you'll get some idea what to look for. The fruit of your life. How is your life moving? How is it going? Verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does prospers. And I've enjoyed a lifetime that anything I put my hand to prospered. I look with amazement at where this church is now and how it started in my heart, in the heart of my pastor in Modesto, California, many, many years ago when he prayed for us and prophesied over us that we were going to come here and do a mighty work. And we're still doing it. Amen? And once again, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, let me take you to another verse that I think will be important to you. If you would, Pastor Jeremy, put up Isaiah 54:10. Take this very personally. This is for you. This is for your life. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. See, I cannot, and nobody else can tell you that you're never going to have trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. So what you have to do is get as close to Jesus as you can. And he said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And nothing else can do that. Nothing. You can't buy your way out of this one. Either you know the word and you speak the word and you live in the word, or you don't. And it doesn't matter what flavor of Christianity that you want to be. But hear this promise from the word. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that has mercy on you. God will never, ever remove his covenant of peace that's on your life. It's yours for the asking. It's yours every day. How close are you willing to get to the Lord? How much of the word are you going to allow inside of you? How much of the word of God are you going to speak over your life and the life of your family? See, I don't believe in accidents. I don't believe that I have to be a part of an accident, because I don't believe that the Lord is leading me that way. But the word says a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord, you see. So, but the word also says there's a lot of people that don't know anything about God. And they just get up in the morning, and many of them, they kiss mama and the kids goodbye, and they're sure they're going to see him at nightfall. And for many, many, many all over the world, that doesn't happen. They're out of this world. Satan, his work is made clear by Jesus Christ. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's got an abundant life for you. He wants to bless you with it. How much blessing, how much can you believe God for? Can you believe that? Can you really believe that he'll take care of you and your family? I do. Have I ever suffered loss? Many losses. Have I ever disappointed God? Many times. But I've always held on to God like David. I'm advising you, hold on to the Lord no matter what. His promises, look here, life may fail you, but God will not fail you. He will not fail you. Your family may fail you. That happens a lot. But God will not fail you. Your best friends may fail you, but God will never fail you. Your health may fail you. Your wealth, many other things. But I've been young, and now I'm 70. I've never seen God fail, not even one person. Not one time. I'm asking you to put your extreme faith and confidence in the Lord more than anything else in your life. He can solve problems that seem to be insurmountable. He can take you out of dangers that seem like I'm stuck with this forever. No, he's going to help you. God will help you if you can make yourself believe him. If you meditate on the promises of God, you'll find yourself believing the promises of God. You know, I believe finally tonight I'm going to turn to the book of Revelation. I'm going to do what I said. Chapter 20. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. The end of the Bible. The end of the account of mankind. Revelation chapter 20. Beginning at verse 11. And you can take this to the bank. We're all going to see this. Every last one of us. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. It is appointed unto every person once to die, and then comes the judgment. You have an appointment. And so do I. It's before the great white throne for God to give us final processing. Nobody else can do that. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. If anybody's name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll be processed and judged through the other books. This through your life. What you did, what you said, what you thought about before you, what you thought about before you ever dreamt about it. God will not just judge you for what you said and what you did. He'll judge you for your life, for what you were thinking when you did it. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And yet he loves us deeply. But he's nobody's fool. And he will resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, I want to go. I want to go to hell. Me and my friends are going to party. No, there's no party. There's no party in the lake of fire. There's unbelievable, insurmountable, undescribable torment to be separated from God and to be in that lake of fire. So the Lord hasn't brought you here tonight to threaten you, but maybe to reason with you. Maybe every once in a while we need to really reason. I'm asking everybody in here, are you a born-again believer? I'm not asking what church you go to. I'm asking you if you're born again. Because if you're not, you can be born again right now. If you're not and you want to be born again, you want to be sure, lift up your hand. We'll pray if there's anybody. All right then. We'll take you at your word. We're about to move into a time of communion. Two practices in the New Testament that Christians must do. One of them is water baptism. The other is communion. Communion, you take it regularly. And those that are going to pass out the communion tonight, come up here. Yeah, come up here.